about to say in context, I want to explain that I, my age cohorts are people that I call first wave baby boomers. Baby boom generation, as we all know, stretched over an enormous period from 46 to 64. And I'm speaking of people who I consider my cohorts who were born immediately after the war into the first years of the 50s. For purposes of our discussion, let's just loosely chop it off at 53. Now, just as this is my informal definition of my cohorts, I'm also going to give you my sense, which I cannot quantify. I have no scientific data to prove, but it is my sense that the vast majority of my cohorts are at what would normally be considered a very young age, in other words, at their current age, which is normally not when this phenomenon is expected to lock in. I see the vast majority of my cohorts as people who are past-oriented rather than future-oriented. If you want to put it in hyperbolic terms, there are a lot of people out there who see themselves as having died December 31st, 1969. Now, I have also heard the period that we call the 60s defined as being that 5 years from 68, when campus unrest became extremely prevalent, to 73, when the Supreme Court handed down the abortion decision. So, here again, that terminology I am accepting, and here again, we're not really talking about the 60s as being a block of time from 60 to 69, but from being that what is now considered an extraordinary period of life between 68 and 73. Now, my autobiography, Within the Past Year and a Half, hinges on what I've just said, because unlike what I determined to be the vast majority of my cohort, I am someone who is future-oriented rather than past-oriented. Before I accept your congratulations, I will point out that that really means that I have skipped the present and that I have placed myself to living in the realm of anticipation, not longing, in the sense of looking backwards, although longings can be future too. But that means, once again, I would skip the present, and then my body heat would be run off of anticipation of the future. It also implies an optimism about the future and my role in the future, which probably explains where I differ from my cohorts, as I understand them. Their optimism has diminished to evaporate. The most significant, and I'll put this in quotes, event of my life during the past year and a half, from March 1988 to now September 1989, is that I have shifted into real time. I have shifted out of future anticipation into operating or conducting my life and affairs in the present. I've done this for two reasons. I have very seriously studied metaphysics, both with Roger and with Georgia Lambert at the PRS. In January of 88, I started going to the PRS on Sunday mornings. I discovered it. And the other significant factor in this shift is that I sat down and I wrote the first draft of my novel. This is not autobiographical, my novel, but the fact of integrating story structure, which is, as I see it, a very shorthand form for a lot of the processes that we talk about in this class and in George's class, by integrating story structure with my ongoing study of metaphysics, I have made the shift. These are interactive processes, the writing and the study, and it put me into real time. That doesn't mean I don't have my lapses. It means that has been a significant shift that is more and more with me. My lapses are diminishing to now occasional. What this has meant in terms of the way I live my life, or the way I've come to understand my life, is that because of this interactive process between the study and the application, if you want to put it that way, I now am constantly refining and evolving a sense of who I am. That means how I want to live my life, what I want to do with my life. My sense of direction is constantly being refined. As I come to know myself and have a sense of being, this permeates my real time, my life and affairs. And it also means that I can, you know, as I've written in my notes at home, view the incursions of others with a less jaundiced eye. I'm still very tight with my time. I feel my time is my greatest resource. And how I spend it, what I do with it, I closely monitor. I do not waste. But I no longer see social interaction as eating up my time away from my work, which is my writing. I have more of a sense of joie de vivre, which perhaps I never had, and it still needs to be developed. But that would be the significant offshoot from that point. The final point I want to make is, as a corollary to this ongoing process, I have come a long way in overcoming my innate sense of ambiguity. I was, by nature, and I'm putting this in the past tense, a very ambiguous person. And the first signs of overcoming this ambiguity were about 5 years ago, when I could start to make decisions in a more timely, less tortured fashion. However, within the past year and a half, I see the strides out of ambiguity as really being enormous. And as I'm standing here explaining this to you, I can account for that. As I develop a sense of direction and a sense of being, I shed any sense of ambiguity.
Let's go right to Dave. I went to school, I think,
away from the world and took the form of dropping all social contact outside of this class. It became a time of simplifying my life to the greatest extent possible. I had become aware of certain areas in my life that I wanted to examine closely, some of which were automatic responses to people, regardless of what was really known or felt. Ritual, limits, I told myself, and often fragmented perception of the world, concentrating in other areas as it came to my attention. Becoming more aware of what I was thinking, what I was actually doing, etc., was very beneficial. I found that the more aware I became, the more my comprehensive ideas increased. When I made the talisman, there was a brief time of euphoria that abruptly dissolved into fear. It is humbling to be placed in this kind of situation. There seemed to be no way to reason myself out of the situation. I did not even know why I was afraid or acted so neurotically. It was not until I had made the mask that I finally I was released from this fear. The making of this mask was probably one of the most difficult things I have ever done, but the effects of it have increased my understanding of a line of resistance that had become a pattern in my life. I continued to examine those various areas in my life by observation, but without harsh criticism. During a recent lecture, Roger said something to the effect, "Let the self be, just let it be." Whatever we focus on over a period of time will eventually be there for us. About 5 years ago, Roger made a statement in class that profoundly affected me. I have had this statement on my desk for all those years and often take a moment just to read it again. Where can we stand to view the flawed mentality? Where are we free to view that flawed mentality? In the undifferentiated, in the void, otherwise you will always be captive, adjusting to the one mentality or another, making ourselves believe we are free from this process. But the experience of the conditioned bliss, not so much from the conditions themselves, but the attempted manipulation of those conditions in order to be safe, enables us to let go of ourselves, extend kindness to others. When we can do this, other people no longer require to perform the roles assigned to them by our needs. They have every right to be who they are. And that interchange, that cooperation that arises from the universality rather than mental servitude. To a man not led astray from himself by sentiments, stemming from the surfaces of what he sees, but courageously responding to the dynamics of his own nature, a man who is a
Nietzsche phrases.
A wheel rolling itself, difficulties melt, and the unpredictable highway opens as he goes.
What was that last?
As a
wheel rolling of itself.
Difficulties melt. And the unpredictable
highway opens as he goes. Yeah.
Don't worry about that.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tushy. Thank you. And then we'll go to Steve.
Thank you.
four different approaches to this. Try and bring next week your own approach. And if you can, for those who have been in the course, try and put your emphasis on your development in terms of the progression of the course. In other words, we're in history now. Can you remember what you were like in the magic section? Can you remember what was happening in the ritual section for you? What about a comparison? In other words, there's a lot of potential here that's still not open. Try and bring what you can next week, all right? Have it written as much as you can, and I'll see if I can run some off on the copy machine, so you have some copies of some of these things. I'll have other pages of your material too. Hopefully, the bulk of the outline. Next week is the last of the history, and the week after that is an interval between history and science. So you might check your schedule and see what music example there is and what text there is for that interval. And then we're going to do that in 2 weeks. Thanks very much.